Well, hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, downtown the 12th Hour. Today is June the 2025, or it is the 26th day of season 2029. We will start our first service today with two timely greetings of E.T. House number 16 entitled Satan's Triple D.C. brings a time of trouble such as ever was. We're going to have a prayer thought taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Under everything that there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun, under the heaven. Let's do that again. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away a stone and a time to gather stone together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from the embrace. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of the war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh and that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which Yahweh hath given unto the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that the Yahweh maketh from the beginning unto the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of the Yahweh. I know that whatsoever Yahweh doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put unto it, nor anything taken from it, and the Yahweh doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And the Yahweh requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun at the place of the judgment, that the wickedness was there, and the place of the righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, for the Yahweh shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that the Yahweh might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, and the one and the one died. So dies the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man has no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn unto the dust again. Who knows the spirit of the man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward unto the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. But who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? This is the end of our prayer of thought. Ecclesiastes number 3, we're going to go now into our study on two time degree, number 16. Satan's triple defeat. Okay, it says, November 29, 1947, beat the heart of Satan's triple defeat. Alright, it says in Revelation 12, 1 to 6, and there appeared a great wonder in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of the 12 stars, and she being with the child cried, travailing in the birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in the heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of the heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of the iron, and her child was called up unto Yahweh and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of Yahweh, that there should feed her there 1,260 days. And we know that added up to 1,260 years, from 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D. That was the Dark Ages, for the Catholic Church is in charge of the Dark Ages. And they rule the ecclesiastical and the governments of the world together. Okay, for 1,260 years. We all somewhat agree, I know, that the woman of the Revelation 12 is symbolical of the house of Israel, the church, that the dragon is symbolical of the Satan, and that the child represents Yahshua. But inasmuch as we may not agree as to whether the woman is symbolical of the Old Testament church, or of the New, or of both, it is essential that we study to see eye to eye. Now, the questions naturally arise. If Yahshua is the one who brought forth the apostolic congregation of Israel, then how can she be his mother? And was not Yeshua born at least 30 years before the apostolic congregation of Israel came into the being? Is not the egg laid before the chicken is hatched? And finally, is it not true that if we blunder forth on an enormous premise, that we shall find ourselves further and further from the truth on this subject? Most assuredly, let us then make certain of the foundation that we are built upon. For we all know that Yeshua was born not to the apostolic congregation of Israel with the apostles, but before that in the Old Testament times, but to the Jewish nation of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Christians, and that was of the house of Judah, tribe of Judah. So when it says Jewish, it's talking about the Judah, the house of David. This being so, then how can we escape the truth that this 12 star-crowned woman is primarily the Jewish church who prevailed and gave birth unto the world's Redeemer in the Old Testament period? Moreover, before the child was born, and before the teaching of the plan of salvation with faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, which is called the Gospel of the Yahshua, came to the house of Israel, she was clothed with the sun and the moon stood under her feet. There is therefore not the slightest excuse for one to conclude that the woman represents the church clothed with the gospel. That would be the apostolic church after the cross of the Yahshua. And if her sun clothing does not represent the gospel of the Yahshua, then what does it represent? Since she was clothed with the sun before the Yahshua's birth and before the gospel came, then her son clothing must be the Bible, the word of Yahweh, that clothed her in the period of the prophets. What is symbolized by the moon under her feet? For the fact that the moon of the heavens reflects the light from the sun unto the earth. For the symbolical moon, therefore being under the woman's feet, and the sun shining directly upon her, not by the reflection through the moon, denotes that her channel of light conveyed the moon was passing away, was no longer needed, that this sun itself as the source of her light shining directly upon her enveloped her with its bright rays, what could the moon then symbolize but the one period before the Bible canon, the period before the Moses, in which the word of the Lord did not shine directly upon the people as it does today. For they had no Bible in those days that was reflected upon them by the men of the Lord, by the medium that is with the prophets before the Moses, never wrote down the messages of the Lord, but verbally passed them on through this 12-star crowned woman, symbolizes something in the Old Testament time. As we have already seen, she nevertheless is seen to symbolize something in the New Testament time. This we see from the fact that after the child was born, and after the apostolic congregation came into the being, the woman was given the wings of a great eagle and was thus enabled to fly into the wilderness there to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. Moreover, her leaving the vineyard, her homeland, Palestine, and going into the wilderness, the lands of the Gentiles, for that is what the wilderness symbolically stands for in the conquest unto a vineyard, again, shows that she continued after her child was born. For the taking all of these points into the one common whole, they positively show that the woman is symbolical of the Yahweh's ever-living church for all time, and that she is his saving truth for his true wife, the truth that gave birth unto Yeshua, and that gives birth unto all his brethren, his followers, the remnant of her seed, Revelation 12:17. When the promises of the coming Savior was made, it was then that the dragon learned that the church was to give birth to the man's child. And from then on, he watched her closely, hoping to destroy the world redeemer as soon as he was born. This he endeavored to accomplish through the Herod, King Herod, at the cross, when he caused a multitude of the little children to be slaughtered for the child Yeshua, nevertheless escaped, and the devil met his first defeat in the connection. Now the dragon, being fortified with the 7 heads and the 10 horns, is with the denoting that he is with the controlling all of the civil and the religious powers in that day. For the symbolical number 10 denotes universality, just as do the 10 toes of the Daniel chapter 2, the ten horns of the other Bible beast and the ten virgins of Matthew 25. For the horns represent all of the civil powers, while the heads represent all of the religious powers. For the biblical number 7 denotes completeness. Moreover, the fact that the Jewish church is the only agency through which the Yahweh worked up until that time, crucified the Son of Yahweh, the Yahshua, is in itself sufficient proof that the church had apostatized, that she had become the dragon's seventh head, and that thus was the dragon armed with the ten horns and the seven heads, with all the civil and religious powers. And so you see, the dragon with his horns and heads represents the world captured by the devil. Thus it is that the world was lost in that day, and thus it was that the Yahshua came to redeem the world of the righteous people. For the doing all of this, he is with the starting of a new apostolic organization of the house of Judah, which is the house of David in the New Testament. In this light, we see that the Yahshua is the world's redeemer, and his mission even more important than we have ever seen it before, for the dragons torn from the heaven a third part of the stars, that is the angels of Revelation 12:9, with his tail, not with his claws, showing that in his beginning of the Satan's universal rebellion, the angels volunteered to follow the rebel leader, Satan, and to unite with him in his evil work against the human family. Thus it is that the world was lost in that day, and thus it was that the Yahshua came to redeem the world. Now, to do all of this, he started a new House of Judah church organization with the apostles, the twelve apostles. After his resurrection, he installed and in this light, we see that the Yahshua is the world's redeemer, and his mission even more important than we have ever seen it before, for the dragons drawn from the heaven a third part of the stars, angels, Revelation 12:9, with his tail, not with his claws. He knows that in the beginning of his test, Satan's universal rebellion, the angels volunteered to follow the rebel leader, and to unite with him in his evil work against the human family. Okay, Revelation 12:7-17. And there was war in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And their great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our Yahweh, and the power of his Asher, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, of which accuse them before the Yahweh day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having the great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. And in the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place. In other words, that would be here in the United States, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the faith of the serpent, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, that the earth and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Okay, that remnant of her seed then would be the remnant of the 144,000, the Gentiles, because he couldn't make war with the 144,000, but he could make war with the remnant of her seed. For the main point to be noticed in these verses is that after the dragon and his angels were cast out of the heaven, Satan second defeat, and after he had persecuted the church and she had taken her flight into the wilderness, the dragon followed her there, but rather than persecuting her, he cast water as a flood after her, hoping to cause her to be carried away of the flood. and the other words after he saw that she could not stop the growth of the apostolic congregation of the Nazarene Creed by the persecuting her followers, he changed his tactics and instead compelled the pagans to join her, expecting thereby to cause her to be paganized, carried away by a flood that they're planning on creating right now. For the dragon, though, is again the myth. Something. Let's read that a little bit of that last paragraph again. In other words, after he saw that he could not stop the growth of the apostolic church of the Nazarene Creed by the persecuting of her followers, he changed his tactics and instead compelled the pagans to join her, expecting thereby to cause her to be paganized and carried away, in other words, by the flood of false doctrine. For the dragon, though, is again to miss the mark, for the earth is to open her mouth and swallow up the flood. That is, inspiration definitely forecasts that those who join the church for some purpose other than for the following and practicing of the truth shall be disposed of by a miracle. Now be swallowed up by the earth, as it were. And when this comes to pass, Satan shall have met his third defeat. Summarized here are the three defeats. Number one, failing to devour the man-child. But the king Herod and his decree. And number two, losing the war in the heaven, where Michael and his angels fought against the old dragon and his angels, and they prevailed not. There was no more place found for them in heaven. They were cast out into the earth. And number three, failing for the paganizing of the house of Israel by the purified house of Israel, I might add, by the flooding of her with the unconverted. When he makes the third defeat, when the terrors, let's do it again. For when he meets his third defeat, when the terrors which he sowed are burned, for as a flood they are swallowed by the earth, but as the terrors they are burned by the angels. Then it is that the church will appear clear as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophecy 7:25. Having met such a mighty defeat, and having seen that the church is freed from his flood, the dragon's wrath is to be intensified, for he will be wroth with the woman and make war with the remnant of her seed. Okay. So the remnant of her seed then would have to be the Gentiles, that are the second fruits of the harvest after 144,000 are harvested as a first fruit, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua, Messiah. Revelation 12:17. For the spirit of the prophecy, Revelation 19:10. Obviously, for the remnant are those who are left after the earth opens her mouth and swallows up the flesh. They, as a body, keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the living spirit of the prophecy, in other words, present truth on a daily basis, interpreting the sealed up prophecy that is opened up and made known unto his living church, for the Spirit who dictated the scripture, who has led the Yahweh's people into all of the truth down through the ages, and who still is, thus it is that the dragon's wrath and the church's purity caused by the dragon's third defeat are to bring the time of the trouble such as never was. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. Nothing in the world is worth as much as having our names written in the book, and therein we may have our names if we choose to follow the spirit of the truth and to keep the commandments of the Yahweh. Here we have seen that those who think that the law with the Ten Commandments is abolished, that their lives need not comport with the law, and those who think that the spirit of the prophecy is a thing of the past, that the Yahweh has left the world to get along as best it can, that he no longer bothers himself for the sin of a prophet, that all such shall find themselves enslaved in the league with the Babylon the Great, the seat of the dragon, and rather than having their names written in the book, they will have the mark of the beast and have a part in the persecuting of the remnant, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah. Now is the time for all to decide either to be swallowed up by the earth, cast into the fire, or to be delivered by the Michael, our prince. Let us therefore choose deliverance rather than defeat. Oh, love the Yahshua, all ye his saints, for the Yahshua preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Psalms 31:23. End of number 16. This brings the end of our state. This hour contact shift at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.